Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Planning Committee meeting of the 22nd of April. Just to remind you that the meeting will be recorded. Any apologies?
Chair, apologies from Councillor Beattie, Councillor Boyes and Councillor Johnston.
Order of business?
Is as printed in the agenda, Chair.
Are there any declarations of interest? Item 4, the minutes of the meeting of 25th February have been circulated. Are there any comments? Everybody happy with the minutes? Okay. Item 5, major applications. Applications currently being assessed and other developments at pre-application consultation stage. Report by Head of Communities and Economy.
Chairman, it's just the regular update report that the members will be used to. If there's any questions, I'll happily field them. Otherwise, the report's for noting.
Okay. Right. Item 6. Appeals and local review body decisions.
Again, Chairman, to report for noting, but if there's any questions, I'll happily field them.
Item 7, High Hedges legislation.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a report updating the committee with regard to the introduction of the High Hedges Scotland Act 2013. The Act aims to provide a solution to the problem of high hedges where neighbours have not been able to resolve the issue amicably by providing an effective means of resolving disputes over the effects of high hedges which interfere with the reasonable enjoyment of residential properties. Residents can apply to the local planning authority to assess if a hedge in the ownership of a third party is having a detrimental effect on their reasonable enjoyment of their property, and if so, to take steps to mitigate the impact. The report provides an overview of the processes and procedures in terms of making an application, assessing an application, enforcement and the appeals process. The recommendation is for the committee to A, note the terms of the High Hedges legislation, B, agree that the implementation and enforcement of the Act be undertaken by the Director of Education, Communities and Economy, C, the Council's scheme of delegation be amended to delegate to officers the determination of any application arising under the Act, and D, agrees a fee of £300 per application subject to an annual review.
Constable?
Thank you, Chair. This is to be recommended. It's long overdue, this Act coming into effect in Scotland. It's been in effect over most of Europe and I think south of the border for some time. I just wonder why, with the recommendation D, 300 seems an awful high application. What's the special cost for an application for this? What's the reason behind it?
Chairman, the underlying principle from the Scottish Government is that the assessment and determination of a high hedges application is cost neutral to the council. So in terms of the £300, it's based on an evaluation of the resources and time that would be committed to not only obviously register and validating applications, but visiting the site, making an assessment, possibly enforcement action, and resolving disputes between possibly neighbours. The Act itself, however, does give a refund provision so that if an application is submitted which doesn't cost that figure for the authority to determine, the council can refund the difference back to the applicant. Obviously, it's pitched at a figure which should cover the majority of High Hedges applications. But if you pitch it at a much lower level, you can't then reclaim additional costs. Although you can refund, you can't claim additional costs. So it's set at £300. Interestingly, across Scotland so far, there is a range of fees. The Scottish authorities are putting forward ranging from £192 up to £600. So there is a range. but that's the starting point. It's probably something which we would need to review as we go forward, but as part of each application, we'll keep a record of the actual cost, so I'll be able to give you better analysis of it as we go forward.
Just a question, Peter, because if this is going to apply, and I'm no opposing it or supporting it, there's quite a number of hedges that's grown out over pavements which actually belong to the council. How is the council going to address that if you get local people reporting the council for no cutting the hedge back where it's obstructing the pathway?
Interestingly, the legislation is designed to try to give some protection to residential property owners so that they can enjoy their property rather than using the public highway or the public footpath. So, interestingly enough, someone could make an application against the council if a council's hedge is causing overshadowing or an impact on their garden, but actually not blocking a footpath.
Thank you, Chair. Just to go back to the provision for refunding in the event of charges being essentially overestimated, do we intend to apply that provision? And if so, how would somebody apply to have a refund?
Yeah, it's built into the regulations that there is that provision to refund. So as part of our internal procedures, we would be keeping a record of the cost and refunding any difference back to the applicant. The applicant wouldn't have to make a separate application or apply. We would just do that as part of our procedures.
I'm just trying to figure out how you've made it cost neutral. If you've come to the conclusion that £300 on average is what's required, if you're then going to be taking chunks of the lower, the ones that are easier to process out of that, has that been taken into account when we're working out the £300?
The £300 is a starting point. There's no exact science to get that because we haven't been through this process yet. What we've done is I've tried to estimate in terms of the hours it would take to deal with the application and then costed it based on that. But I have overestimated the hours on the basis that there is this under-provision clawback, but I can't overestimate it, so that you're better off starting high to pull back. But it may be a case that we come back in a year's time and say to you, look, we've had 10 of these applications and they've cost this, and you may need to adjust the fee accordingly.
Sorry, in the light of what you just said, it would make sense then to pitch the price at the highest level and then just refund the difference?
Well, possibly, Chairman. Yeah, you could just put it as high as you wish. I don't know whether that would deter anyone from actually applying in the first place, so there's maybe a balance to be struck with that.
Is there no powers to extract the extra cost from the owner of the high hedge who's called all the troubles to start with?
There is power to reclaim costs from the owner of the hedge if the council instigates formal enforcement action, and then there has to be some means of cutting the hedge or carrying out works which the council may have to carry out and then reclaim the costs back. But the owner of the hedge doesn't pay for the administration of the application prior to that decision.
Move on to item 8, which is development management performance report for Notting.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a report to update the Committee on Development Management Performance for 2013-14. The report identifies the number of applications determined, enforcement cases investigated, appeals defended, and local reviews considered. With regard to the determination of plan and applications, overall performance continues to improve when compared to previous years. In 2013-14, 84% of plan applications were determined within target. This compares to 73% in 2012-13. The figures also show that the number of applications received in 2013-14 is up on the 2012-13 figure. This is despite the changes to permitted development, which came into effect in 2012, which removed approximately 40 or 50 plan applications from the system each year. The introduction of the new planning performance framework means that performance with regard to the processing of planning applications is also measured by the average time to deal with major and local applications. Table B in the report outlines the figures collated for 2011-12 and 2012-13. The data for 2013-14 has not yet been collated or published by the Scottish Government. The recommendation is for the committee to note the contents of the report, agree to receive further regular reports, and to refer the report to Performance Review and Scrutiny Committee for information.
I think it's to be welcomed, the improvements. Again, we see the sort of continued trend of improvement across the various measures here, and certainly to the point of having 99% of non-planning applications determined under 2 months, only missing one. I think it shows the definite improvement that's taken place over time. I just wondered, has there been any impact on this through the introduction of processing agreements at all? Has that helped to get us to the position we're in now? And maybe just a more general comment, just in looking at the total numbers of the applications processed, it shows that it seems to suggest that there is a very definite upturn in the market. There's a general increase across all levels, from the pre-application consultations through to the applications received. So I think it's showing that perhaps things are starting to move again, which has to be encouraging.
I think, Chairman, in terms of the first point, I suppose the number of major applications, and then because they're small in number, they actually have maybe a small impact statistically on the performance figures, although on the communities they have a big impact because of the scale of development. So those ones don't necessarily have that impact on the figures. So the introduction of process agreements, I would say, hasn't really impacted on that. I think the increasing use of the pre-application advice service does, because that's ironing out issues before applications come in, so that's helping. In terms of the application numbers, yes, there's an increase in activity. I would say there's an increase on the ground as well. A lot of the big house builders are coming back and remixing and changing schemes. We've also had quite a few applications over the last year for works in relation to the Borders Rail projects. So that's helped the numbers up as well. So I would say, yes, definitely a general increase in the district.
We'll move on now to item 9. Excuse me. Application for planning permission considered for the first time.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an application for the erection of 63 dwellings on land to the southwest of the Cemetery Road, Rosewell. The proposed development consists of 55 two-storey dwellings comprising a mix of detached, semi-detached and terraced houses, 8 flatted dwellings in 2 pairs of semi-detached blocks, 2 vehicle accesses off Cemetery Road, the provision of formal and informal open space, landscaping and suds provision, new cycleway and pedestrian links, and car parking provision. The houses are of a contemporary design and will comprise a mix of concrete and slate roof tiles and be predominantly render walling. The site itself was allocated in the 2008 local plan. This presumption in favour of residential development is not outweighed by any other material considerations. The development itself is well laid out, providing distinct character areas and interesting spaces. Although the proposed number of units is greater than the 50 units indicatively identified in the local plan, the layout is well served by open space and will provide a good amenity to future occupants of the development. There has been one letter of representation and consultation responses from the Rosewell and District Community Council, SEPA, Scottish Water, the East Lothian Archaeological Services, the Council's Policy and Road Safety Manager and the Head of Education. The recommendation is to grant planning permission subject to developer contributions and conditions.
For the committee's information, there is a contribution to the primary school that's already being extended, as Peter just said. You can see on the map where it is in Rosewell. It's quite an interesting site.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chair. I'd like to concentrate a little bit on the cycle provision because I'm aware of the site being very close to quite a strategic, well-used cycle route from Eskbank all the way up to Pennycook. I've cycled it many times myself. I'm aware that the proposal includes adequate cycle provision within the site itself, but I've mentioned this at previous meetings of the Planning Committee that we really need to look at the strategy of how to link these up. And here we have a situation where we've got right on the doorstep of the site an existing cycle route, as I mentioned. I had an email from one of my constituents just today who cycles from Bonnyrigg to the Bush and uses that cycle route as far as almost Auchendinny before joining the A701. I'd like to see that as a strategic route, particularly given the problems in Roslyn Glen. We saw a recent fatality of a cyclist making the same journey by a different route. I would like Planning Committee to give serious consideration to allocating some of the developer gains, some of the contributions from the developer, towards a strategic assessment and development of our cycle plans, particularly given that this council has no provision in its capital or revenue budget for cycle provision and relies largely on external funding. Comparatively, Edinburgh City Council has 7% of its revenue and capital budget for cycling provision, and I would like to see us starting to move towards that funding, towards it. And one way of doing that, quite painlessly, is via developer contributions.
Chairman, there's two things here. I suppose, as the councillor mentioned, there is on-site provision, so that's trying to connect to the existing transportation infrastructure. So hopefully that's okay in terms of the layout. The second issue is obviously the strategic network in terms of cycle paths, footpaths, etc. In terms of this application, the report recommends developer contributions towards, you know, obviously the affordable housing, education, the Borders rail line, children's play provision, and community and leisure facilities. If the committee wanted to add an extra contribution into that towards the strategic cycle network, then the committee can do that and justify it by saying that the increase in occupancy because of the site results in increased use of the cycle network. I suppose that the challenge would be then trying to work out how much they would make and how you would work that out, and then take on board consideration for other sites and whether you would apply that assessment to other sites as well. So I'm really in your hands, really, in terms of the committee, whether you want to go down that route or not. So I'd have to leave it to the members.
Owen.
Yeah, I think Ian's kind of highlighted the point here that there already is an existing very good provision of cycleway along that route, along Rosewell. So to try and tie anything into a development here, that where there already is an excellent provision, potentially I could see us having difficulties and actually needn't have to get agreement on that. Beyond that, I think maybe there's something we need to look at, but I think there's been a lot of work done over many years on the enhancement and the additions to the cycle network in Midlothian. It's not all the way it needs to be yet. There's always more that can be done, but over time things have been improved massively in the recent years. You look at the one at Rosewell there, there's the one through at Lone Head. Certainly these are the ones that I'm familiar with. And in the current climate, I think we'd need to be very careful about how we adjusted funding to take account of that. You know, it's not a time of plenty. There's not money pouring out of endless pots for us. I think turning to the application itself, I'm inclined to support the application that's in front of us today. I think the engagement by the developer with the local community here has been quite useful, and the response by the community council certainly is very helpful. and I think where possible, if the points raised there can be taken into account within the application and permission granted, I think that can be benefiting both the developer and the wider community. I think this is a site that I think pretty sure we had identified as a site for housing, so it's not going against the policy for us to allocate it as such. So for that basis, and if taking account of the community comments, we'd be inclined to recommend approval.
Yeah, just a couple of things, Chairman. I mean, you know, while I think we accept what Councillor Baxter's saying with regard to strategic cycle networks, the place for that isn't actually on the back of this application. That's a completely different debate altogether, and something that should have maybe happened around budget time. But I mean, that's when you allocate your certain monies, and I'm sure Councillor Baxter may, in the fullness of time, want to continue to pursue that, and I don't think he would necessarily get a lot of opposition, because Midlothian's got a very good record on what it's put in over the years on that. The one thing, though, I did want to highlight, Chairman, is that on 820 on page 38, it talks in terms of a requirement towards a community facility / community space, and it gives an either or. I would actually like to firm up on that, and I think it should actually be part of the proposed community hub that's going to be coming forward in Rosewell, rather than leaving the door open, because there is money being awarded for the feasibility study. That's going ahead now, and it seems to me that that's where any monies through community contributions or developer contributions should come back to the community. As it is, for example, the children's play provision is going into the pavilion or into the park, which is beside the pavilion, and it seems to me that if we could firm up on that, Chairman, with the agreement of the committee, I think that is a valid thing, at least to go back to when you're drawing up the Section 75 with the developer, to get that commitment to the community hub.
Thanks. Is there any other comments? Okay, I'll try and sum that up. Peter, the 828 that Russell Emery, would you like to answer that first?
Yeah, Chairman, we can put that as the priority choice. I know some of the work that I've been doing with the Trust anyway, about looking at the design and that building. That is something which hopefully will come forward, although there's no approved scheme to date. So it's about securing money. If that can be delivered, that's the priority. But if not, there's a fallback position, so we'll take that on board. Yeah.
So, Ian's question about the cycle thing.
In terms of the going back to the question about the cycle provision, I'm taking and getting the message that that's not to be asked for in terms of this application.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, yes, I appreciate the views around this table, and I do feel quite strongly that we need to do something to develop some way of getting funds towards a strategic cycle solution within Midlothian. And I appreciate that I'm not getting support for this, so I'll leave it with the committee to reflect on it. And as Russell says, maybe we should take this forward through other means.
Thank you. Yep, Jim?
Is the right time, you know, to do that, like, structure plan time? Rather than, I mean, you mentioned budget, Russell, but it's not really even an individual budget time. If we want to try to focus some developer contributions in a strategic, right across Midlothian kind of way, then this isn't the application to, you know, this wouldn't be the one to start it on, given what Owen was saying. But I think at the structure plan stage, the local plan stage.
Okay, and right, any other comments? Right, thank you very much.